Welcome and thank you for connecting with Open Door Church. Today we'll be bringing God's Word through the book of Nehemiah. Many of the lessons we'll learn from Nehemiah will be on prayer, leadership, overcoming enemies, restoring hearts, integrity, and holiness. Now, with today's message, here's Pastor Luke.
We've each had a time and multiple times where we're faced with something in front of us, an obstacle, and we can try to get around it, but there's only one way to actually accomplish the task or the goal that's in front of us, and that is to roll up our sleeves and dig in, right? We have to roll up our sleeves and get to work. So we're going to continue our journey in the book of Nehemiah. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Nehemiah. We're going to cover the entire chapter number 3. But just brief review, we saw that it begins with a burden. Nehemiah, in the first few chapters, he saw the gap between Israel's current condition of the people and the walls, and the political situation, the spiritual situation, and the physical condition of the walls and of the country. And he was burdened between their current condition and what God wanted them to be. And so it begins with a burden. Then we saw that we need dependence before doing. Nehemiah depended on the Lord to accomplish this vision. And then we saw the first step of action was a sequence of patience and then a plan and then proceed, right? We can't just jump into it. We have to have patience for God's timing. We need to come up with a plan with God's wisdom and then proceed. And then we saw a people unified. It was a couple weeks ago. Last week we were canceled, but a couple weeks ago we saw that a people, they were unified. He communicated the vision to the people, and the people said, we're going to build. All right? But up until that point, or up until now, it's still just an idea. Nothing has actually tangibly happened yet. And so today, we're going to see that it's time to roll up your sleeves. In Nehemiah chapter 3, the entire chapter, verses 1 through 32, I'm not going to read it this time because it's a larger portion, but I'm going to just summarize and say the thing that came to mind is if you've ever been a part of a play, like a school play, or if you've ever seen a play or been a part of any rehearsal or seen your kids rehearse, each person has a part. They practice their part, they memorize their lines, they know what the overall objective is, but everybody has their section of the play to perform. And then before the work actually begins, before the play commences, the director will say, places, please, or positions, please, right? Everybody get in your spot. You know what you're supposed to do. We've gone over the plan. Everybody's on board. Now everybody needs to get in their spot and get ready to perform the task of this play. That's essentially what is happening in this chapter. The little heading in my study Bible says the work assigned, and that's the heading for the whole chapter. And if you, as you read, and we're not going to read this whole thing, we're going to look at the different themes and some specifics in this chapter, but if you read this, you can kind of get lost. It's just like all these people repaired a portion of their wall. That's what this chapter is saying. It's saying this people and this group and this tribe and this family repaired this part of the wall, and then this people and their tribe and this family repaired this part of the wall. And it's just going through and listing all the different people and what their positions were. And some repaired a smaller portion of the wall, and some repaired a longer or larger portion of the wall. But everybody needed to get in their position, roll up their sleeves, and begin working. So here's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at actually quite a few amazing things, but three things in particular about rolling up your sleeves. The first thing that we're going to notice is that when we roll up our sleeves, it includes everyone. Everyone. We're going to look at a few different verses just to highlight this. But here's the truth, that when we are working for God, we must remember that He has a job for everyone. Do you believe that? He has a job for everyone. And the truth is that oftentimes we question, God, what do you want me to do? What role am I playing? I don't have the lead part in this play. But there are people that be like, I want more attention. I want to sing more. I want to do this. I want to teach. Or I don't want to do that. Right? We have all these different things that we question what we're supposed to do, how much attention we get, how much work we have to do. But the reality is we need to remember that God has a job for everyone. Notice in verse 1, and we're going to look at 1, 2, 3, 4 or so different verses here. Look at verse 1. It says, then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brothers, the priests, and they built the sheep gate. The high priest and his brothers in his tribe, the priests, they, guess what they did? They're the pastor, right? They're the ones with the nice robes, and they were the ones that were supposed to be, then they were the leaders of the spiritual assemblies. What did they do? They rolled up their sleeves. They said, we're going to get to work. We're going to get our hands dirty because we are a part of the team and we are a part of this unity of getting the work done. I think that's a great example. I've worked with, I'll just keep it very general. I've worked with pastors and people who have the mentality, I will share you a specific thing. This was in Haiti when I was in high school. There's definitely more of a caste system in Haiti. And by the way, if you haven't been praying for the political unrest in Haiti, please do so. Steve and Tamala Wyatt are still stranded there, and they're praying that they can fly out this Tuesday. So we need to be praying for Haiti. But this was 20 plus years ago, and we were on this mission compound, and my dad, along with us, we were taught to work, and my dad said, hey, you know, me and my brothers, we're cleaning up the mission compound where we lived. And there were some of the pastor's sons that were sitting there contributing to the trash that was on the floor, like on the ground outside. They were eating candy and throwing the trash on the ground. And my dad told them, or asked them, said, why don't you come and help us clean up the area? And I'll never forget what these pastor's sons told my dad. They said, we have servants for that. Because a lot of the mentality in Haiti is if you're a pastor, that means you have an education. And if you have an education, you're up here in society versus those that don't have an education. And so these pastors' children had this mentality like that's beneath us. We don't do that. We can just throw our trash on the ground. We have servants that take care of that. And they even accused my dad. They said, you're treating us like slaves. And my dad, not very calmly, after a little while, talking to their parents, said, I'm not treating you like slaves because I'm not demanding you to go and do something that I'm not already doing. I'm asking you to come and work with me and my boys as we clean up the area, right? There's something to be learned there. And I so appreciate the work ethic that my dad instilled in me. And we always tease me and my brothers like, yeah, our dad always said, hey, boys, let's have a ministry. You go and do this. But my dad did lead by example. And after we got bigger and stronger, he did send us all these places because he's like, you can get more done if we divide and conquer. So he'd send us all over town raking leaves for widows and all kinds of stuff. And we kind of tease about being our dad's slaves. But he taught us, there's nothing beneath you. If a toilet needs to be plunged, you plunge it. If leaves need to be raked, you rake them. And you just do what needs to be done. There's no work that's beneath you. And these priests, they set the example. But then look at verse 8 and 31. I'm not going to read them, but it says the goldsmiths were working. Also in verse 8, it uses the word perfumers, or your translation might translate a couple different big words to describe it, but people that made perfumes and all that, they were doing work. And then in verse 12, notice this, it says the last three words in verse 12 says, and his daughters. So talking about this particular guy, and it says, and his daughters. And there's some speculation over what does that exactly mean? But if we just take it at face value, it was a dad who was getting involved, rolling up his sleeves, doing work, and his family was with him. And he, like my dad, taught me and my brothers, said, hey, come on, we're going to do this work. This is how you do it. You roll up your sleeves, you dig in, and you do the work. So notice that priests, goldsmiths, the perfume makers, and even families, daughters, children, everyone has a job to do. And I don't know who said it first, but I like the person that reminded us that we are in a spiritual war. And he said, if you can't shoot a gun, at least carry ammo, right? Do something. Do something. And then he said the worst of us can serve as bad examples, right? I mean, there's something that everyone can do. And by the way, I'm not saying that we should strive to be bad examples, but I heard a story recently of a husband and wife that recently trusted Christ as their Savior about a year ago. And the wife trusted Christ first. And you know why she trusted Christ? Because she, when she was an unbeliever, she didn't go to church, she wasn't a Christian. And there were two ladies that she worked with who claimed to be Christians, but they lived terribly. And she was like, I don't think that's what Christianity is all about. I don't know, but I don't think that's what it's supposed to be like. So she set out to find out what is it really supposed to be like to be a Christian, because I don't think these ladies are living it out. And through that process, she became a Christian. She found out about Jesus and what he did, and she trusted Christ as her Savior, and she told her husband, and he trusted Christ, and they're in church, all because two ladies were doing a terrible job of living for the Lord. So all I'm saying is, we are in a spiritual war, there's a wall to be built, there's a war to be fought, and everybody has a job to do. It doesn't matter if you're a full-time pastor like me, or if you're a volunteer like everybody else that was up here on stage in our worship team. It doesn't matter if you're an accountant, or if you're a carpenter, or if you're a business owner, or if you work in a factory or an office. Everybody has a job to do. And we see that here, priests, goldsmiths, perfume makers, families. Everyone needs to roll up their sleeves. Can I get a head nod? We all need to roll up our sleeves. Secondly, we also need to be reminded to roll up our sleeves maybe even a little bit further when others don't. Have you ever rolled up your sleeves and gotten into a task and then you look next to yourself, next to where you're working, and you see somebody else, and what are they doing? Or what are they not doing? They're not doing their job. They're not doing their job. We see this all the time with our kids, and they're just mini adults, by the way, because our kids will come to us and be like, I'll be like, hey, son, daughter, would you please empty the dishwasher? The first question out of their mouth oftentimes is, what are my siblings doing? What are they doing? Because I don't want to have to work extra. I don't want to have to work more. I don't want to have to pull more than my weight, right? We want everything to be fair. Look at verse 5. It says, and next to them, the Tekoites, I'm not sure how to pronounce that, they repaired, but notice this, but their nobles would not stoop to serve their Lord. This is interesting. First of all, the nobles, that's really the aristocrats, those were the educated, right? The elite people of this particular tribe. They, unlike the priests who said, nothing is beneath us, we're going to roll up our sleeves, we're going to work no matter what, because we're a part of the team. These elite members of this particular tribe and society said, that's beneath us. We are not going to stoop that low. We are not going to roll up our sleeves. We're not going to get our hands dirty. I think it's also interesting, and you can notice this in your particular Bible and translation. What does it say? It says, they would not stoop to serve their, and in my Bible, the ESV, it says, Lord, capital L-O-R-D. In some translations, it'll say Lord or Lords, a lowercase L, or it might say their master or their governor. And what's interesting in the translation of this is it could be translated either. And I was thinking it actually fits to translate it both instead of either. Because think about it. We as Christians, when we perform the work, whatever work God has called us to do, whether it be me preaching and teaching God's word and counseling or whatever, or whether it be Michael Cassidy this morning, last night and this morning, spreading salt and clearing our parking lot of snow, which one of those is serving the Lord, our Heavenly Father? Both. Are we all in agreement? And so, if we, in our, what we would classify as secular vocation, if we will not submit to our earthly boss, when the Bible clearly says that everything we should do with all our heart as unto our heavenly Lord, then I think this translation could fit both. It could say that these particular people wouldn't stoop to serve their masters, and in turn, they weren't serving their heavenly master. Are you with me? And so either way you translate it, God was not pleased and they were not willing to serve. Now I could say, have we ever been there where we were unwilling to serve? But that's too convicting, so let's talk about somebody else. Do we know other people who have been there? We know a lot more other people, don't we? But truth be told, for various reasons, I think we've all been there, where we're just like, God, I'm done. I'm done. I can't do any more. And I'm not saying that we don't need a break, but this is more like arrogance and pride, rebellion. So God forbid that any of us, I'm not talking about needing a break, but God forbid that any of us would rebel to the point where we say, I am unwilling to serve God. I will not do that. We've got servants for that. But here's what's interesting. This just hit me in a powerful way. Look at verse 27. And by the way, this is why deeper Bible study and reading commentaries is really important, because you can read this whole chapter and just be kind of lost. Like, man, there's a lot of people working on a wall. But we see in verse 5, the nobles would not stoop to serve their Lord. But in verse 27, it said, the Tekoites, we've already heard about them and what their lords wouldn't do, right? It said, they repaired another section opposite the great projecting tower as far as the wall of Ophel. And we're not going to do a study on all the places. What's the significance of that? It didn't say that they repaired this section. They repaired what? Another section. And I think it's interesting. Those are the only people that it mentions in this entire chapter that did more, seemingly, than their fair share. So the group, the family, the clan, the tribe, in which their nobles would not roll up their sleeves and would not stoop to serve, they not only repaired the section in front of them, they finished that and said, we're going to roll up our sleeves further. We're going to cut off our sleeves. We're going to do whatever it takes. We're going to get down and dirty. We're going to stay in the game, and we're willing to go above and beyond, and we're going to serve, and we're going to repair another section of the wall. Whew, that's awesome. That's awesome. So we need to roll up our sleeves, because everybody has a job to do, and we need to roll up our sleeves further when others don't. Instead of being discouraged or complaining or whining and being like, yeah, but they aren't, but they aren't, but they aren't. Okay, but what has God given us to do? What is in front of us? And again, this principle that we're covering, I'm not saying that we forget about rest and Sabbath and rejuvenation and all that. No, that comes along with it. We need to rest so that we can roll up our sleeves. Are you with me, church? I'm not saying we work 24/7 and we never stop. I'm saying that we have that willing heart that says, I am willing to roll up my sleeves no matter what. Somebody next to me, they might be having a bad attitude, they might be struggling, they might be going through a difficult time in their life, or they might be rebelling. I don't even know all the details. All I know is I'm going to roll up my sleeves. I'm going to get to work. And when I need to, I'm going to roll them up further when others aren't working as much as I think they should, and I'm going to continue working. So everyone needs to roll up their sleeves. We need to roll up our sleeves further when others don't. And lastly, we need to roll up our sleeves together. Notice this theme. The phrase next to him and after him, depending on your translation. In my Bible, I counted 27 times. I actually went through and I underlined every time where it said next to him or after him. Next to him or after him. So this is what was happening. You have this length of this wall that's going all the way around. And everybody is assigned a section and a measurement. And he's like, so-and-so, you've got this section. And next to him, so-and-so, you've got this section. And next to him, so-and-so, you've got this. And they covered all the perimeter of the wall that needed to be covered. And yes, there were some that did two sections because others wouldn't stoop to do the work. But notice in verse 10, and I like this because it brings it home, literally and figuratively, in application to our lives. In verse 10, it says, opposite his house. In verse 17, it mentions his district. In verse 23, it says again, his house. So here's what I want to emphasize in this last theme, is everyone has a job to do, but everyone has a place to do it. Everyone has a place to do it. And sometimes we can get so paralyzed in our own decision making or in our own daily life because we're wondering about where God wants us to go and what he wants us to do over here and over there. And we've got these questions and we have these unknowns, right? We all have them. We don't know about tomorrow. We don't know about the week after. I was meeting with a couple of friends of mine here in church this last week, and we were praying together and talking about questions that we have in our lives. We're not sure about this. We're not sure about that. And we prayed, each of the three of us asked each other to pray for guidance. We need God's guidance. But then you know what we did? We brought it back to today. We're going to trust God to guide us for tomorrow in these decisions with our families and works and school and all these different things that we have going on in our lives, but how can we succeed today? What does God have for us right now when we are living where we are living? What about my house? What about my district? What about across from my house, as is mentioned here? So you have these people that are living in Jerusalem proper. They're living in the city. They're living where the walls are broken down. And Nehemiah says, it makes sense that Luke, you live right here. The wall is right across the street and it needs to be repaired. You take that section. You don't need to go over to somewhere else. It's just like we are reminded, I hope frequently, that in order to be a good missionary overseas, we have to be a good missionary where? Here, right? We just commissioned and sent Crystal and Wyatt to be a missionary full-time in Haiti, right? When she lived here, right here in the apartment here at our church for 9 months, guess what she did every Saturday morning? Anybody know? She prayer walked this neighborhood. And she helped organize the trunk or treat, and she was walking for days and weeks ahead of that, or prior to that event, inviting families, building relationships, getting to know their names. And so, yeah, we had more than a dozen families come to that event last October, but they all knew one person by name. Hey, Crystalyn, pretty awesome, huh? So she wasn't just saying, well, I'm just preparing here and studying and getting all this Bible knowledge and whatever, and then I'm going to go be a missionary in Haiti. No, you see, God put it in her heart, listen, I've called you to be my ambassador, to do the work, to tell others about me. And guess what? Right across the street, Crystal, and there's people that need Jesus. Why don't you repair that wall? Why don't you tell them? Why don't you engage with them right here? And Crystal then was faithful to do it here. And guess what? She's crushing it in Haiti. She's doing awesome, and she's going to continue to do awesome in Haiti. So what can we learn from that? Everyone has a job to do. We all need to roll up our sleeves. We need to roll up our sleeves even when others don't. We might need to roll them up further. But we need to roll them up together where we are, where we are. So think about that in your own life. What does it look like to roll up your sleeves this coming week? I can't answer that for you, but I want you to think about that. What does it look like to roll up my sleeves? In other words, what has God called me to do? I know generally he's called us each to love our spouses, love and lead our children. He's called us to love our neighbors. He's called us to submit to our authority at our respective workplaces. He's called us to do our job to the best of our ability. He's called us to be salt and light. Those are some general things, right? We need to be reminded of those and then say, God, I know what you've called me to do generally. How can I apply this week in my life? And then also think about not just the what, but where. Where? It's easier oftentimes for us to think about, well, I'm going to be praying for Haiti, and I'm going to be praying for the Middle East where we have missionaries and the people in the up north and in the Arctic, and we're going to pray for all these people. But what about our neighborhood, our house, our district, where we are? Church, God will use us to accomplish his vision as we roll up our sleeves and get to work. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, Lord, God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the reminder that we need to roll up our sleeves. We need to get to work because you have a job for everyone. And God, when the people next to us, maybe we don't feel are pulling their own weight, God, would you help us to roll up our sleeves even further and continue to do the work you've put in front of us to do? And God, would you help us to roll up our sleeves together, everyone right next to each other, and doing not just what you've called us to do, but where you have placed us. God, we live in our neighborhood for a reason. We work at our respective jobs for a reason. We rub shoulders every day and every week with different people for a reason. God, you've given us a section of the wall to rebuild, a section of Columbia, a section of Missouri, a section of this world, a section of your kingdom to build. God, help us to roll up our sleeves and get to work for you. And we'll give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope that you were blessed and inspired by today's message. If you would like to hear more messages like this, we invite you to Open Door Church, 4838 Meadowlark Lane in Columbia.